Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yo, what up? How is life? How is living? It is May. It is May days. We missed all of that because you know what? We celebrate birthdays around here. Everybody around us got birthdays around here in May. So you know what? Things get spotty.
Man.
Patchy. But they get real for us in real life. But hey, man, thank y'all for still rocking with us. And you know the biz. It's time to talk about wrestling. And we're going to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. So that means it's time for the first Black Champ Podcast. And I'm Camp from the Port.
And I'm JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download wherever you get your favorite podcast. Make sure you go in and get that merch. You see Camp with the red on. And he's had that for a while. So you could tell how the wash goes with that. Word. You know what I'm saying? Because that shit still looks red.
Yeah. R-E-D.
Damn right. So MFs. y'all go ahead and get that merch. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at FBC_POD, Instagram at FBC.POD. We're going to start the show off with the predictions of WrestleMania Backlash. We couldn't do it last week because Mother's Day. My wife's birthday.
Yeah.
And
Mother's Day.
Yeah, today is Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize real quick. You're right. Like, if it's any month we ever going to be spotty, it's this month.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we're going to be back here next week.
Yeah. Yeah. I was honestly thinking about that on my first wake up this morning. I was like, damn, I actually got to drive back home Sunday.
Yeah. I thought about it this morning like, oh, shit. And then
next Saturday is your birthday. So then you got to make sure you're in shape to go next Sunday.
I'm being in shape. I've done this podcast hungover. But it's 40.
Right. You ain't even 40.
Yeah, it's 40. I'm be okay. We're doing the pod.
Let's do it.
You know, it might not be at the time, but it might be. Because I've been prepping the body. I've been drinking a little bit.
Okay.
You got to go to Atlanta and not this week, but next week.
Yeah.
So basically, like the OE Summit is in Atlanta the week of my birthday.
Oh, you know what?
So you know what happened.
I'm thinking you were talking about June 4th. Never mind. Okay.
No. Oh, I'm not going to make that.
Ah, okay.
Because that date changed. We didn't know.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me read it.
It's that date.
Oh, okay.
We had a different date.
Ah. Okay.
Then it went to that.
Gotcha.
So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's May days. That's where money's going.
Hey, listen, I understand. That's why I was like, hey, you know, even though the company is paying for what's about to happen, that don't mean I got it for.
And you know we got to get that back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how long that could take.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Especially all y'all, man. You know, I'm like, I think I'm technically like 2.5 hours away.
Yeah, yeah, you're 2.5 hours.
So it ain't what y'all gotta do.
Right, yeah. Man, but that's another story in another day.
Yeah, man.
But you know, we got the 40th coming up.
Yeah, man.
We got your birthday coming up.
Of course she is.
So 41. We got Mother's Day today, the wife's birthday.
I'm celebrating the 35th all this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. My, you know, milestones, milestones on deck, man. God, my mom's birthday is the 30th.
God damn.
R.I.P. Kurt, his birthday was the 6th.
Yes, it was.
R.I.P. I mean, R.I.P. Salute to my Uncle Butch, whose favorite rapper is Run DMC, and he used to love Mr. Perfect to make a wrestling tie. His birthday was May 4th.
Hey, man, my my little cousin Nick's birthday was on Cinco de Mayo.
Hey. You know what I'm saying?
Shit, my cousin Tammy's birthday is on the 18th. Hey. Another cousin's birthday on the 19th. My birthday is on the 21st. Yeah, shit, it's May. It's a lot of stuff May going on. So we gonna be here. I just know, you know what I'm saying? If you miss us, catch prior episodes, dig in the crates. You might learn something. But tonight, as we record this on Sunday, so you're probably gonna listen to this tomorrow or Tuesday. So, you know, you'll get to hear and see if we're wrong here. But WrestleMania Backlash is tonight. Sunday night, a card which is sneaky good, and it's saying something because this card should not be sneaky good. However, the way that it seems promoted is weird. Weird to say the least. So we got a couple of matches we're going to talk about. Well, you know, give our predictions on. So here are our predictions of WrestleMania Backlash. And see if we're wrong. We're going to start off with the match that I think is going to start off first, which might be the biggest match of the night.
Okay.
If you depend on who you talk to, but I got a feeling this is going to be the first match of the night. Roman Reigns and the Usos versus Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro. I think Roman Reigns is like, it's back, WrestleMania Backlash. I ain't got to be here all night for this shit. However, the question, since we missed time, I'm going to ask you before we give this prediction is, why the fuck did they change this shit into a six-man tag?
Man, that is, I think because when you really look at it, I understand what they're doing, but there's no way the tag team title unification match should be the headliner for any pay-per-view in 2022.
Okay.
It just shouldn't be. And that's no disrespect to the Usos. There's no disrespect to Riddle or 20-year veteran, possibly first or second greatest heel of all time, depending on who you're talking to, Randy Orton.
Yeah.
But it's like, come on, fam. We go through spots where we don't even talk about this title or have three teams fighting for it. So now all of a sudden it's the main event of a title of a pay-per-view that y'all put in WrestleMania in? Fuck out of here. You wouldn't do that shit for Money in the Bank. Yeah. You wouldn't do that shit for No Mercy. Mm. You wouldn't do that shit for Vengeance, motherfucker. You wouldn't do that shit for a lot of fucking pay-per-views. So WrestleMania Backlash being the tag team unification match, it ain't that big.
I think Roman Reigns was really legit hurt at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, facts.
I think that was the big thing. I just think that this is the way of masking and not putting him out there. But so just waiting to see if he is going to be back. All right, we can use you in this way. I bet.
Yeah, no, you know what? Even if you really listen to the last like 2 minutes of the or not even 2 minutes of the match, Paul is trying to stay on script. And Roman Reigns was like, oh, it's out.
Yeah, it's out.
It's out. like he couldn't even sell himself with knowing that the cameras might be near.
Yeah,
so he was definitely hurt.
Yeah, so
he definitely probably is like at 75%. You know what I mean?
And I think that's what it is. But we'll talk about some interesting stuff that came out with Roman Reigns this weekend. But who you got in the match, Bloodline or Drew McIntyre and RK Bro?
Let me see. I think this is about building a new opponent, so to speak, for Roman Reigns. So I'm going to pick the Bloodline.
Okay.
Because if it wasn't, or no, but you know what? At the same time, you could say that's all the reason to have it for Drew McIntyre. But I don't think you build Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns for the June pay-per-view, which we know won't be SummerSlam, which we know won't be Survivor Series, which we know won't be Royal Rumble, which we know won't be WrestleMania. So that's why I'm picking the Bloodline, because what's coming next ain't big enough for Drew versus Roman Reigns for the undisputed Universal WWE Championship.
Okay. I'm going to pick RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre. Okay. And even go as far as say that Jimmy is taking the pin to make Jay look strong, always still, and make Roman stay strong. I think this is just going to be about having that name on the card, building up towards a match between the tag teams and Drew McIntyre. I can't see any of them taking the pin at this point. It's just to continue the storyline. And as long as Roman Reigns don't take the pin, you know what I'm saying? It's cool. I do agree with you, which I have questions on why would they even put the Drew McIntyre Roman Reigns feud in now?
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Which exactly. I have a theory on what we're going to talk about a little bit later. But you got Bloodline, I got RK Bro. So let's go ahead and take it to Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss.
Okay. So,
as predicted here on First Black Champ, Madcap Moss turned face. And he's been looking pretty decent, man, as a face. I don't like the Madcap shit with the suspenders and all of that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But at the same time, like, I'd rather see Riddick in this than Madcap. Mm-hmm. But this feud is delivering in the way that I think it wasn't going to be delivering. I'm not saying it's my favorite, but it's keeping me there when it comes on. So with that being said, who you got in the match between Happy and Madcap?
I'm going Happy Corbin because he got to get rid of them damn suspenders, dog. He got to stop laughing. He got to stop stupid-ass jokes. Yeah. He got to stop all that goofy-looking shit because what they're building him for, in my mind, is like some like next top guy shit. And okay. Madcap Moss don't look like a top guy, but he looks like the top guy, look like a top guy in the future.
Yeah, body-wise, he looks like a top guy. Match wise, he does not look like a top guy. He looks like, you know, somebody that fights for a mid card belt, or do some nice grudge matches. Yeah. And I'm with you on this one. I'm picking Happy Corbin. I'm mainly picking Happy Corbin for the fact that at WrestleMania, his end of days finishing move was kicked out for the first time ever. So you don't want him to lose like that and then lose to Madcap. So I'm going to go with Happy Corbin here. Let's go to Bobby Lashley versus Omos.
Yeah, man.
Arm wrestling. That's all I got with this feud, man. I'm picking Omos because Bobby Lashley won at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Hey, I'm picking Omos because if he don't win, he got to get released now. like, yo, what the fuck? Hey, look, man. what we're not going to do is make it make sense to have somebody that big, and I mean somebody over 7 foot, over 300 pounds, that's that mobile, that has a good manager, that's his mouthpiece, that has been billed as super destructive, even with AJ Styles, against everybody else, even though they say his name wrong, and that he's going to lose twice to Bobby Lashley. And y'all know it's First Black Champ. It's Camp and Bang. We support any move of Bobby Lashley going up and doing the motherfucking thing. But you got to make this make sense if he lose twice.
Yeah, you got to make it make sense.
If he lose twice, you got to make it make sense.
Yeah, that's why I'm picking Omos. That can't happen.
Yeah, like if nothing else, MVP got to be the reason. Like, well, see, look, he won because MVP was out there. I'm like, cool, whatever. But he got to win the match.
Yeah, it's almost to me they should have put them together,
man. And they jump into the three way dance for the unification of the belts.
Yeah.
Now that's the main event.
Yeah.
That's the main event. It's like, oh, look, we got two former world champions in it. We got the future and Riddle and Omos, and you got the Bloodline of Usos. Now, see when you stack it and the high stakes, on a card like this, yeah, you could argue then, oh, okay, this is for that.
Yeah. But let's go ahead and move on to a nice grudge match. I'll be talking about the Art of the Grudge match, but we got one here. AJ Styles versus Edge, who's the leader of the new faction Judgment Day.
Wasn't he the marquee like image one of the pay-per-views back in the day for Judgment
Day?
Yes,
it was. Yes, it was. I'm like, let's make it a faction. But Damian Priest is banned from ringside. He had lost to AJ Styles on Raw. And then they proceeded to jump him. And then Finn Balor came out and helped out his old Bullet Club partner. Well, not necessarily, because AJ Styles kicked Finn Balor out the Bullet Club. I think that's how that went. but they're still Bullet Club. Hey, too sweet.
Yeah.
Who do you have in this match? Because AJ Styles has been getting his ass beat by Edge and Damian Priest.
Yeah. And you know what? That is why I am picking AJ Styles. Part of me was like, oh, they're about to turn this into a tag match, and they got two factions building at the same time, Judgment Day versus the Bullet Club, and that did not happen.
Right.
So now I'm picking AJ Styles to win.
Man, I was picking AJ Styles to win until Finn Balor came out to help him.
Okay.
You still need probably one or two more people in this faction for it to matter.
Yeah.
And so basically what I'm saying is that Finn Balor's turning heel tonight. That's my guarantee tonight, man.
Now you've made me want to watch this match.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna lie to you. I wouldn't go and disrespect it.
But
I don't want to see this match if there is no extra element to it. We watched that. We saw that WrestleMania.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that Edge and AJ Styles can't give you two great matches at two pay-per-views back-to-back. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the story ain't moving me like that.
Because
two men normally don't beat one, especially when the one is the size of AJ Styles. It just don't be happening. So, man, make it sound like you got the ally and then...
Especially when Damian Priest can't be there for ringside. So that's actually my guarantee, man. Finn Balor will be joining Judgment Day. So it's kind of reverted. So you're kind of going to get the demon back in some type of way. And I've always said you don't necessarily need the demon, but Finn Balor just reminds me of Christian Bale.
Yeah, American Psycho.
I think if we could get an American Psycho out of Finn Balor, just a little bit of a character change, I think we'd be on point. But I got Edge with the help of Finn Balor winning tonight against AJ Styles.
Not for nothing. Finn Balor wear better jackets when he a heel.
He does. He's more stylish.
Yeah, his heel jackets be fire.
He just got better swag heel, man. I'm not a fan of Finn for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Bullet Club Finn.
Yeah, man.
That's just me. All right, man. I would say the two main events of the night. We start off with what I believe is going to be the co-main event, which is Cody Rhodes versus Seth freaking Rollins. I would say that this is the best feud going in the WWE.
Okay.
Seth freaking Rollins has been on point. Like this Apple pen. and I think Cody Rhodes has been dope as a face since rejoining the WWE. I don't know if you saw the video this weekend of the black kid that jumped the rail, like, fuck this, fam. Like, yo, hey, what's up with that picture? And Cody's like, oh shit. Oh yeah, you got it. So Cody is really, really taking on the John Cena role as like super face. But then you got Seth Rollins, man, who took the L at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
so this is a difficult match to choose for me.
Yeah.
Because do you have Cody take the L? Do you give Seth freaking Rollins two losses in a row? If you do have him beat Cody, does it mess with his momentum? Can Seth freaking Rollins keep momentum in a loss? I don't know who to pick. This is real difficult for me, But I am going to pick Cody Rhodes because of another guarantee that I have later today.
Okay. I have the exact same struggle you have, and I'm not sure who to pick in this because never have we ever seen a heel this polarizing, getting so much mic time and TV time and big match spots no matter where the match is, and he's losing.
Right.
You know, like, even if you just go back into our day, I don't want to go too far back, but let's just stick in our day. When Piper was a heel, he never really got pinned. Mm-hmm. Well, shit, he never got pinned except like Bret Hart at fucking like SummerSlam.
Yeah, that was like the first or second time he was pinned in the WWF.
Yeah. And then you got DiBiase, who was obviously a heel, but he wouldn't end the spot Seth Rollins is in.
Not at all.
Same thing for Rick Rude. Same thing for Mr. Perfect. Same thing for Owen Hart. You know what I'm saying? Just as a heel. So I'm sitting here like, damn. He is, like, Seth Rollins has taken a lot of L's the first 5 months of this year. Like, we don't talk about it, but he lost. Well, I mean, but he didn't lose the match with Roman Reigns, but he ain't won since.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, and you never thought that Seth Rollins would be in a must-win situation. Shit, but he is.
Yeah.
If he wins, then what's next for Cody? Because he's already had a couple pretty high-profile matches on the re-up. Like, he already got Kevin Owens out the way. He already got The Miz out the way. So it's like, fuck, what is he about to do? So, man, because I do agree with you on the super face shit, I'm still going to pick Seth Rollins. Only because Cody losing would force his hand to be like, all right, man, look, I'm done all talking and all this shit. Like, I love my dad. I want to win the title, but I see I got to get to work now. Like, motherfuckers know I'm here. They know the vibes. I didn't spend a little too much time in the pyro in the suits talking my shit, and I need to get on my shit. So, and I think that benefits Cody, because even as a face, as over as he is, see that's the other thing, right? Both of them are so over, a win or a loss won't hurt them right now.
Okay.
And I think that even Cody losing on Monday, I mean, I'm sorry, on Sunday, he could still turn around and beat somebody worth a damn on Monday.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, well, shit, well, fuck it. Seth Rollins said that, yo, I know you was coming. I would have beat your ass. And then it's like, and look, I saw you coming. I beat your ass. Let's get back to that later. But now, you know what? Motherfucking AJ, I'll beat your ass. You know what I mean? Like, that, it could be that.
Yeah. Cody is guaranteed coming up in a minute. Which leads me to what's going to be, to me, the main event of the night. Well, not saying that I believe it should be. I just think it will be.
Okay.
Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair and I Quit match.
Yeah.
I'll just kick it off by saying that I don't see how Ronda Rousey loses this match.
Yeah.
For a couple of reasons. One, it gets when Charlotte Flair gets it back is another notch on the belt by saying that she is the umpteenth time women's champion. Mm-hmm. And two is an I Quit match. I can't see a UFC fighter losing to a WWE wrestler in a I Quit match. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is I don't think Vince McMahon is going to let that happen. So unless Charlotte Flair pulls a rock, I got Ronda Rousey.
I also got Ronda Rousey because you can't bill a woman or a man. You can't bill anybody as the baddest whatever on the planet. And then you fuck around and you lose in an I Quit match. You can get knocked out. You can get pinned. Mm-hmm. But you can't submit, though. You can't quit. Like, you got to. And Ronda Rousey don't have the skill set to pull a Bret Hart, Steve Austin. She ain't got it.
Yeah.
So that ain't happening either. I'm just going to pick Ronda Rousey because at the end of the day, Charlotte Flair is the reason why they keep putting Ronda Rousey on TV.
All right, man. So that's the predictions. We'll see in a couple of days how this looks. Tonight, how this looks. But speaking of Roman Reigns, man, it was a live event Saturday night in Trenton, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And Roman Reigns has been breaking character at these events. Mm-hmm. Because he have the mic, last person to talk, all those things. He's been breaking character at these joints. One joint he asked the people not to record and all that stuff. Yeah, we know. But last night it hit a bit different. One of the first things that I saw hit social this morning, where Roman Reigns told the crowd in New Jersey that he might not be back, man. Starting a new phase. I'm just going to play this audio right here. In some cases, it might be hard to hear, but just listen to it and wear mm-hmm. the code once we're done.
We started in 2012, and we are in the right position to
if you couldn't hear that, basically Roman Reigns said that, you know, as we had stated, that he's entering a new phase in his life. And if this is the last time that he gets a chance to speak with the fans, that you know, he wanted to thank them for everything. That's not Roman Reigns' character currently. He's the tribal chief. He's not out here thanking people, you know, saying for X, Y, and Z. So I asked you, G, like, this is, like I said, this is not the first, second, or third time we've gotten this from Roman Reigns lately. You know, so do you believe that we are about to enter a time where, at the very least, Roman Reigns is not a full-time wrestler in the WWE?
Yes. And I say that because that's what I thought was going to happen in 2020. You know, to touch on Roman Reigns' real life that we know, obviously he won the battle with leukemia, but when the inception of the pandemic happened, he had twins and he already had some young children before that. So it was on my mind, like, because, you know, even at the time of his announcement, he didn't really know, and we didn't really know, that we would be on a whole year lockdown and work life would change for everybody and all these things would be happening. So I kind of already assumed that, you know what, but only off the strength of him having leukemia, he ain't about to fuck around.
Right.
But then we get the tribal chief storyline. I was like, oh shit. Didn't see that coming. But I think now we're witnessing Vince and Roman Reigns getting what they both wanted at the same time. Vince was like, hey, man, I still need a superstar post John Cena for this era, dude. And the fans originally thought it was you. We agreed and pushed forward, but the shit ain't really worked. So but now it looks like you got something. So just give me a little bit more of your time, and we gonna make shit crack. But man, because look, as of right now, shit, Roman Reigns is headlining more WrestleManias than Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And only one of them we was excited to see him for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This man beat The Undertaker and got booed at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So when his Hall of Fame speech would have happened before this Tribal Chief shit, if his Hall of Fame speech would have happened, they would have ripped that shit to shit. Or to shreds, however you want to call it. This Tribal Chief run makes up for everything that the litmus test kind of failed at, right? So where do you go from here when, you know, wrestlers overshare and they use their real names on Twitter and you've already stated claim like you have one of the highest grossing years in the company ever? Like, it ain't really shit for Roman Reigns to do but be in that top five, top three of longest running champions. Now, what I do want to say is we might be witnessing him not being full-time anymore, but something tells me that he about to get the 88-89 Hulk Hogan schedule where he's still going to be the champ. And he going to still show the marquee pay-per-views. He going to still be somebody ass until he get up there with Bruno Sammartino. Now, I do believe that. Now, I think that might even be my guarantee for this week. But, yeah, Roman Reigns full-time? Nah. Because he's had some low-key injuries, too. We just don't talk about them because he's always showed up. That's the other part of it, too.
Yeah.
Like, he ain't had that Triple H John Cena moment where, like, oh, shit, I tore my quad and it's on my ass cheek, so I got to leave. You know what I'm saying? Like that ain't never happened. So there's that.
I see what you're saying about the Hulk Hogan schedule. And for those who are too young to remember, Hulk Hogan lost the championship to Andre the Giant at the main event. Then you had the WrestleMania 4 tournament, which he was a part of, lost by disqualification.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, Macho Man wins the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Hogan is there spotty, but he still shows up for SummerSlam, Mega Power versus Mega Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of Saturday night's main events here and there. Mm-hmm. He still shows up for the Survivor Series. But in between, Hulk Hogan was filming No Holds Barred and mm-hmm. I believe not Mr. Nanny, but the other joint.
Yeah. I know you're talking about not
the space. I mean, he was this nigga from space.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the movie. No, Suburban Commando.
Boom. There you go. Suburban Commando. There you go.
Yes. Shit was terrible. Yeah. That shit was terrible. Because the Undertaker's in that movie, but the Undertaker's in that movie before he was the Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was trying to get that shit right. But he was able to film and shit, and in some cases, he had the belt, and other cases, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did eventually win at WrestleMania 5, you know, but he still dipped off. But that was also at a time where every big show had pre-recorded wrestling matches, along with a lot of promos. You'll go and film a lot of promos, and then just spread those shits out, and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And now, in this case, you got two live shows on Monday and then on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then you have some of the smaller shit. And then you're on social media. So it's hard to have the Bruno Sammartino or even Hulk Hogan schedule. Hulk Hogan than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that being said, I think the WWE and Roman Reigns have entered the pack. They learned their lesson, and here's the way that they learned their lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Hulk Hogan Hulk Hogan's doing all these things. Hogan ain't signed to no 360 deal.
Right.
All that shit outside is Terry Bollea's.
Mm-hmm.
John, no, The Rock. If you think about it, The Rock's career in the WWE was short.
Yeah.
Extremely short. It was shorter than you all will realize as a full-time competitor. He packed so much shit into what he would eventually become. And then he was gone before, like, he's not 40 years old, you know, wrestling full time.
Right.
But the WWE pushed him in that direction because that's where he wanted to go. But I don't think they ever thought that The Rock would make it this far.
Right. Yeah. That is what you're saying is so important because remember, y'all, wrestlers wouldn't make in dope movies before The Rock.
Not at all.
So they was like, yeah, okay, man, go ahead and do your shit.
Go do They Live, nigga.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You'll be back. I got to come back. Wrestlers don't be good actors.
Go be Suburban Commando, fam. Go do that.
Right.
And I think that the WWE start to learn that lesson with John Cena by giving him WWE films.
Mm-hmm.
But I think John Cena wanted bigger. Yeah. But John Cena's still family. All of these guys still family, but John Cena was doing dipping off and then let me go film this movie, get the belt back, dip off, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. I think Roman Reigns has a 360 deal with the WWE.
Okay.
I think that's how they're going to pull this off. I think things are changed within, and Roman Reigns knows that. So let's work with each other, and let's build off of what is inside or outside. I think Roman Reigns has a 360 deal with the WWE.
Okay.
With that being said, he's not going to be around. And that's why my other guarantee is at SummerSlam, Cody Rhodes will defeat Roman Reigns for one of the championship belts.
Okay. So you don't think they're going to be put into a winner-take-all situation?
I think
it's like, hey, I got one belt.
I think eventually those belts are going to split.
Okay.
But Cody Rhodes going to have at least one of those belts after SummerSlam. And after SummerSlam, we're not going to see Roman Reigns for a while.
And that would mark 2 years.
Yep. I think after SummerSlam, we don't see him for a while. And what I mean for a while is we're going to have somebody new headline of WrestleMania.
Mm.
Like, I don't think, or we're not going to see him until he challenges his cousin to the match that we've been waiting for.
And even that was teased on Young Rock season 2.
Exactly. So when I make the prediction that Cody's going to be Seth, I make that prediction because I think Cody is going to be the next champion in the WWE. All of this is preparing that to happen. But what's going on with Seth and what Roman is doing on this side, I think that the re-stabilizing of characters or doing a little bit less, it's just leading to them to wrestling at SummerSlam.
And to your point, Cody don't want the Universal title. He wants the WWE title.
He wants the Winged Eagle.
Yeah. And look, if Cody Rhodes wants to beat Roman Reigns and bring back the Eagle, I'm buying that bitch on fucking WWE shop. And I ain't got it right now.
Man.
I ain't got it for that.
But you I'll and buy me it. Both.
But I'll buy it.
Yeah, so I think that's what's going to happen, man. I think Roman Reigns is setting that up. Damn, he kicked the shit out of that man. That whole motherfucking face change. Michael Chandler. I just saw the highlights of Michael Chandler kicking the shit out of Tony Ferguson in his face and knocking him out at UFC. I didn't see that last night. Shit, motherfucking face. Like, damn. But I think all of that is setting up for that. But my question to you is damn, what the fuck? How does the WWE look? If Roman Reigns dips, no matter when, That shit could be tonight. It could be my August prediction. Mm-hmm. It could be whatever. How does a post Roman Reigns world look like in WWE?
Man, listen. It's going to look fine. We just don't see it yet. Mm-hmm. Because remember, this is the exact spot we were in. John Cena was on his way out to do better movies. Yeah. And as The Undertaker was trying to retire for the second time. So, you know what I mean? And Brock Lesnar was like, no, I'm still part-time.
Yeah.
Figure it the fuck out, bro. Like, so it's going to be just fine. And you know what? We have the elements there to show you that it's fine. Again, shit, we got Seth Cody. We got Edge and AJ. You still got The Miz around.
Right.
You still got Bobby Lashley. You still, I mean, I guess if you want to go to, well, no, you still got Drew McIntyre. Hey, and if all else fails, you got Kofi, right? You got Kofi Kingston, right? So the WWE is going to be fine. I think that, you know, the fact that, look at us, the fact that we're approaching our middle ages. Well, you are approaching. I'm already in the antithesis, right?
I'm there. I'm there. Once it's 2 weeks until, nigga, you there.
Yeah, you're pretty much there. But Roman Reigns and the WWE have done such a good job of this tribal chief experience that even we're questioning, damn, what is it going to look like when we ain't got this no more?
Right.
And that's what they're supposed to do, because at the end of the day, although the model is we create superstars, the other model is no superstar is bigger than this company.
And to transition, that's my worry. Mm. I never subscribe to the internet wrestling community's way of thinking about how the WWE has not created superstars, and that's wrong.
Yeah, that's
super. What I will say, though, in a while, to give context, what I will say, though, and what I would amend in their debate is on the men's side, they have not developed that mega star in a while. Mm-hmm. Roman and Seth has been there since what, 2012?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not counting those. Now, here's another goddamn T that I throw out there. That's three.
There you go.
Walter will be that. Mm. Or Gunther.
Hey, there you go.
Gunther will be that. In his match with Drew Gulak on Friday, I almost text you. I almost text you early this morning just to say, oh, I see what they doing with Walter. Walter then slimmed the fuck down, but still looks menacing. He beat the shit out of Drew Gulak by slapping him all over his chest. The crowd wasn't hitting him with the Walter chants.
No, okay.
I think we're over it, ladies and gentlemen. But Walter, to me, by next year, will be the great big heel of the WWE.
Okay.
If they fuck this up, I'm going to have no choice but to agree with the internet wrestling community. Because I don't, based off what I saw this Friday, even though he's done it since he's been there by killing by squashing somebody. It was just something on Friday that just made me go, nah, I think they're about to hit their stride with Buddy.
And you know what?
It just felt like it.
Yeah. But you know what? If the screenshot on Twitter was true, they can't fuck it up, and they won't. Because Gunther is willing to listen to Vince's vision to be like, hey, man, this shit ain't work. Versus saying, nah, man, this is what got me here, right? We good. Let me do my shit. All right, man. Do your shit somewhere else then.
Yeah. Right,
tell you that shit and get out of here. And see, and that is employment, right? like that That is employment. You're going to do what they say the best to your ability and then gauge how you feel before you move forward.
Yeah. And that's it. And an underrated part of that man character is Ludwig.
Yeah. I didn't even see last week, but the last time I was like, okay, yeah, you know what? Because I don't, because to be real, just.
About the racism?
Oh, no. No, fuck racism. It exists, but fuck it, right?
But you're talking about the UK.
Oh, I'm not racist. Fuck all that shit you talking to. But, you know, I just realized that, you know what, if you're over 6'8 in wrestling, I don't want to hear what you got to say.
Yeah.
Start fucking people up, man. If you are six, I'm going to put it out there. If you are 6'8 or above, I'm even going to say 6'7 because 6'7 sometimes look like 6'9 depending on who you in the ring.
Yeah. We can give you like Undertaker, I think is with somebody 6'7, but they was billed as like 7 foot.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So when you're 6'7 and up, you shouldn't even be talking. That ain't what God made you for anyway. You need to be out here beating people the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Why do you think that for the most part they interview guards in the NBA after the game is won or lost? You know what I'm saying? They really had no choice, but they had to talk to Shaq, right? But then you still give it to Kobe. And what was Kobe? 6'7", 6'8", rest in peace.
6'6".
Was he? I thought he was a little taller than Jordan.
No, he's 6'6". He might got an inch or two on him, but he's 6'6".
Okay. We'll see. But look, see?
But you got, yeah.
Guard 6'6", you talk to him.
You talk to Patrick Ewing, you don't talk to John Starks.
Yeah, and even that, it's like,
it's even then, it's like, he ain't got nobody there.
Yeah, you're like, what you gonna interview Derek Harper tonight? No, you don't.
You don't.
You don't have to talk to Anthony Mason and Charles.
We ain't got to talk to Larry Johnson.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, and for the most part, and then even when you're talking to 7 footer, you end up talking to the coaches. Sometimes the coaches are sitting with the person over 6'8".
Yeah.
You know? But saying all that to say, what would kill Gunther's character right now is if he got the mic in 2 minutes. And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, because now Walter pretty much just says that he's going to beat you up.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to see. It don't really be shit else, but I'm a ring general and I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah.
But now I think this past Friday, I was like, oh, that's it. So we lit. I think it's go time when it comes to Gunther. I think it's go time when it comes to him and the fact that he's changed his body around and the way that his body looks, Paul's. I think they got something and they know it. Slow build. But that's not enough. This is no way to sound disrespectful. Because somebody probably be like, bang, you tripping. But Roman Reigns and had this company on his back since he's got back from leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to see the company on Seth's back.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. And okay. The reason why I don't know is I think Tribal Chief is a high-end top guy.
Okay.
I think that freaking Rollins can be, but I've seen him lose too many times.
Yeah. And he would also have to be a face.
Right. I think if we had the Seth Rollins who lost but then won at WrestleMania, what, 35?
Mm-hmm.
I think if we had that Seth Rollins, yeah. That Seth Rollins who defeated John Cena for the U.S. title, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I truly don't know. I don't think that in NXT there's somebody currently that can take that. Don't get me wrong. I fuck with Bron Breakker, but not as top guy. But I think the WWE has to do a better job of doing what they used to do, is groom guys to be ready. Because through every era that we known anything about either performance center or training at a location, Deep South Wrestling gave you The Miz, MVP, Kofi Kingston, I'm probably forgetting a couple others. OEW gave you Brock, Cena, Randy Orton, Batista. I'm sure I'm missing somebody else. That's what the WWE has to do going forward. That's why these Gabe Stevensons and some of these others that they've signed and these NIL deals or, you know, from somewhere, they got to hit. They got to. Because I don't think the WWE can go to a point where they were in 20, well, not even 20-something, WrestleMania 14. No. Well, WrestleMania 14, where the card is so top-heavy, or better yet, a WrestleMania 11, where you have a lot of unknowns up in there. You know them, but it's like, ah, like who's going to be the lead dog? Like who's going to be the Bam Bam Bigelow main eventing that joint? Because he was in the main event. Like who's going to be your Diesels and your and other people like that that are your big men? I don't know if they're currently in the company right now. And the minute that Roman Reigns decides to go ahead and take a break or I'm out, I think they're going to struggle.
Okay.
I think they're going to struggle mightily because that person is not there yet.
I totally understand where you're going. However, the only thing I want to bring up is that the guy that brought back the long run was AJ Styles. And AJ Styles is still there. And do I think that he reached Roman Reigns' top guy level? No. But he gave us a John Cena year that people didn't call a John Cena year because they didn't feel like they were being force-fed to AJ Styles when you definitely literally were. I think, you know what? I think what it is that the universe, the WWE universe to be specific, is going to determine what they want to see. But somebody is just going to be ready. And to me, ready is not five-star matches.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? To me, ready ain't even necessarily the character that's in our face. It's ready to me is setting up a moment that is going to live for 14 days. And I think that's where the tribal chief shit started, right? Because it was one thing for him to be sitting with Paul Heyman talking about his return. But there was something about him coming out, signing the contract, and then winning the match. And then he followed it up the next night by saying, when, you know, you just got to show up and win. That lasted the rest of that month and into the next month. And I was like, oh, okay, we got something new with Roman Reigns because those are two moments, even if people don't want to acknowledge them, pun intended. So I think that somebody's ready. They just haven't been given the moment to make it happen because I think we're always in agreement here. Like the WWE and its superstars, especially its top guy superstars and women, top people, men and women, superstars are all based on moments. And what it's starting to feel like to me is that Vince is very strategic about who's going to get moments and at what time.
Right.
Like, we don't get three moments a night anymore like we used to in the Attitude Era. Like, there was a couple moments, like, even, like, and they got overshadowed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go back to some episodes of Monday Night Raw, and three stars were built in one night. But Austin getting the rub, though, so, hey, sorry.
Yeah. You know, yeah, man. Now, are there stars at NXT? Yeah. That I think that could become stars. Like Carmelo Hayes is one that I've been saying for a couple of weeks that I think he's going to be a mega star. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about on the men's side. On the women's side, you got Bianca Belair, Cancel Christmas for everybody else.
Man.
She's the biggest star in the WWE to me right now. But I'm talking about in 5 years, it's on the men's side too. Because even on the women's side, you got a Rhea Ripley. You got a Liv Morgan that I see doing more. Charlotte ain't going nowhere, I think, in these next couple of years. I think Sasha may be on the Roman Reigns tip, but it's not immediate. But I'm going to throw out a name out there. You're probably going to laugh when I give you this name.
Okay.
I'll even go as far as saying that part of your prediction might not be wrong now. But Big Cass showed up at AEW.
Yeah.
And looked damn good. But I
thought he was Edge.
Damn. But he looked damn good before that at Impact. He looked damn good before that at Impact. And somebody reportedly said at the WWE that that man looked good. We are at WrestleMania 38. Your prediction got time, G.
Hey, Russ, I said WrestleMania 40.
I know about Baron Corbin.
Right.
But W. Morrissey?
Man.
Big Cass, you might not be wrong.
Man, listen, when I seen it, I was like, oh, I'm back on the clock. I'm still on the clock. Because, hey, for real, look, I was like, fuck is Edge with the, he jumped the shit already? I'm like, and then I realized, oh, I'm watching the AEW account. Oh, shit, let me go check this shit out. So, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Hey, Big Cass, man. Listen, still on the clock. It's been over 5 years. And you know what? If Drew McIntyre can do it, why can't he?
Exactly. And I even go as far as the saying is, don't be surprised if we see a Drew McIntyre versus Big Cass, W. Morrissey, anything like that. Involved in the WrestleMania in the next couple of years.
Dang.
And even with that, man, Big E came out and said that his neck is not as healing as fast as they thought it would. It's a couple of he still got to wear the halo. With the halo, there's a possibility that, you know, some shit got to be fused.
Yeah.
I'll go on the record of saying this, I don't think we're going to see Big E back in the WWE ring.
Oh, shit.
Only reason why I'm going to say that, fam, is, and this might sound bogus the way I'm saying it, but I don't think black people treat neck injuries like white people do in wrestling.
Okay.
But what I mean by that is we see the light at the end of the tunnel, and especially if we got other shit that we want to do. I'm going to go do that. I don't see the addiction to wrestling like a Kurt Angle had or even an Edge has from a Big E. Not saying that Big E don't love the business. I said addiction.
Right. Yeah, no.
I got to do whatever I got to do and put my body through whatever I got to do to get back in this ring.
Right.
Especially when I've won some of the things that I probably wouldn't have won.
Right.
I just got a feeling that we talk about this future, the WWE stuff. I don't know if Big E is in those plans. Mm. And if he is and everything heals back correctly, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see a lot of black, I don't see a lot of black people messing around with neck injuries.
No, you're right. No, you're right.
That's just me.
No, you're not. I don't think you're wrong at all in this sense. And you are right. It is an addiction because when you really look at it, right? No, people want to be Kurt Angle, but people don't want to end up like Kurt Angle.
Man.
You dig what I'm saying? Like, it's like, yeah, that shit sound cool, but fam, I'm not here for this. Like, we're not doing this though. And I think, damn, you know, that is, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate for sure. But no, I understand where you're coming from with that. I just understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, so that's really it that happened this week in wrestling. The short pod, ladies and gentlemen. Normally what we do, I've thrown about 3 goddamn tees at camp. What you got?
Man, so for goddamn tees. You know, I was trying to really think of something that really makes sense based on what we have, but you know, I think you've taken a lot of what I thought was going to happen.
My bad.
Cody Rhodes. Oh no, you're good. I mean, cause it's right there in your face, right? Cody Rhodes being in the world title picture by summer, officially summer. Shout out to all the graduates. I think the only thing that we probably didn't speak on today is Ezekiel. Cause this is interesting. I'm gonna keep it super real. He's out here like a default Ultimate Warrior player. Like if some kid named Tyler was playing fucking WWE 2K22 and he saw the Ultimate Warrior's colors, like, yo, I wanna do that. You know what I'm saying? Tenacious Tyler, and I'm fucking running down to the ring with Tassel and the old Tampa Bay Buccaneer colors. I could see that happening. But what do you do from a guy who had an obviously great character that you're now literally stripping down to a creative player? They're trying to give Ezekiel Barry Horowitz's job as the greatest jobber of all time. It ain't gonna work this era. They Eugene-ing us on the low with a person with all his chromosomes. I don't think I understand this, but I want to see where it goes. Because the fucked up part about it is if Ezekiel gets a bigger push than Elias, then y'all gotta stop selling me characters. Y'all just got to start telling me, hey, look, I just fuck with homie. So he getting the belt. Because Elias unfortunately never won shit but the crowd over. That's all he won. And he was on our predictions to have an impact year in 2018.
Yes.
So you got to make it make sense, Vince and Steph and Paul from wherever you are, because I know you don't be showing up every day now. And you shouldn't, shit. Getting over your shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, this Ezekiel shit is interesting. And I know he ain't been in like tag matches and shit, but Kevin Owens is adamant about getting him the fuck over.
Very much so.
You know what I'm saying? My guarantee is watch Ezekiel, because the minute he win the U.S., the Intercontinental or a tag team title, he officially had more success than Elias ever did, and we got to talk about that shit.
Damn. My man is out there looking like creamsicle jerseys and tassels, man.
He's
out here looking like Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah.
Looking like Trent Dilfer, Mike Allstott.
In retro.
Damn. And my man said Tampa Bay. Hey, man. I ain't think about that shit until you said, like, damn, this my man I had. My man I had with the Steve Young.
Yeah.
Creamsicles, the Doug Williams creamsicles. Damn, John Lynch. Just creamsicles in general. Yeah, looking like what Tampa Bay was, Huff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Motherfuckers come to Soldier Field like, yo, we got to win the day. Right. Homecoming.
In the second hour of the show.
Yes. My man said Barry Horowitz, Jack. End us off, man. This man called him a better Barry Horowitz. Yo. This is wild, fam. I didn't even think about that shit.
Hey, man. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, man. We just watch wrestling with our eyes and our minds. And we
would
know y'all.
When Barry Horowitz started winning. When he beat what was that Skip from the Bonnie Donnas and they put him on the pay-per-view. Yeah, so that's
you know what I mean?
The original Bret Hart, ladies and gentlemen.
Believe it.
Barry Horowitz used to be Bret Hart.
Man,
telling y'all too much. I'm sorry.
Right. Hey, listen. Look, shout out to Barry Horowitz, man. Thank you for your contribution to the world of wrestling.
Is he still alive?
I shouldn't say it just like that, but I think he should be like 60 something, I think.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Have a Nagila.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, hey, listen, man. Hey, look, y'all know what it is. We appreciate y'all every single week for checking out the show. The likes, comments, shares, tags, conversations, group interaction, pay-per-view takeovers. We appreciate it, man. We thank you. Obviously, we would do this show without you, but making the show with you always is a greater experience. And always know, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Camp Bang. We are out.
Papa Nagila, man.